Shalom, this is Billy Brim coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and we are studying in depth John A. McMillan's book, which we've recently got back into print, The Authority of the Believer. We are studying how that when God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, he also raised us from the dead and seated us with him, we are told, in Ephesians, at the right hand of the Father. We're far above. You're far above. You don't have to just be roughshod, run over in your family by the devil. In fact, you're supposed to be up over him, exalted with your Lord, sharing throne rights, and ruling over the enemy. Now we're on page 33, the practical exercise of authority. The believer has now accepted the place of exaltation with his Lord. There has opened for him a life of holiness in the presence of God and of watchfulness in the presence of the enemy in a deeper sense than he has ever known before. You're going to be watchful. In fact, that is the thing that is required for you to be an overcomer. The Bible says we are to be in a constant state of watchfulness. The first lesson is personal. He must learn, the believer who is seated there with Christ at the right hand, the significance of the term Satan. Satan means in the Hebrew adversary. He's against us. And you will come to understand why one of his titles is the accuser of the brethren. He, the enemy, will not only make accusations against the brethren or to other people, but you may encounter that he will make, as you sit up here with him, especially with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, you may encounter a constant stream of accusations in your own heart or directed toward you. These will trouble you until you discover that the purpose of the enemy is to turn you in upon yourself and through the creating of a consciousness of personal unworthiness to draw you down from the place of perfect faith. Have you ever been praying and the enemy say, "This, you're not doing anything. You've wasted time. You don't even know what you're saying. You're praying in tongues." Or he'll probably say to you, "You don't need to sit up here. You've been coming up here every day. Things haven't changed. You don't think you're really doing any good sitting up there with Christ in the heavenlies and telling Satan what to do, do you?" That is, the Bible tells us in Revelation, he's the accuser of the brethren. He will accuse you to yourself. And you just say to him, "No, I am effective. I'm sitting up here and I have learned to overcome you by the blood of the Lamb." You just take that blood of Jesus Christ, which is the only answer to the accusations of the enemy against you. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus against you. You'll need to learn, too, the limitation of authority. You do not have authority over humans and humans' wills. God himself lets humans have a free will. He doesn't make people choose to follow him. It is their full liberation of a freed spirit to follow the divine will. God wants you. His purpose is the full liberation of the freed spirit through glad acquiescence to the divine will, that you may glorify your Creator. So you want to help people to get free. But human control of another's will is not the right way. Hypnotism is one of these things. Just a person who's trying to force their will upon another one, that's not right. And any kind of a control that's used through occult powers latent in the soul is unlawful for the Christian, as wizardry and necromancy, which are directly forbidden in the Word of God. Now, we have authority over evil spirits, and wizardry and necromancy have to do with them. Just this morning, I like to watch Fox News. Just this morning on Fox News, they had this lovely lady there, so soft-spoken, genteel, and she's written a book on conversing with the dead. And she told right there my Fox guys that normally in the morning are talking, she was telling them how she hears what their dearly departed loved ones are saying. And she said, "Now you need to be careful of people like me because some of them are false. But now me, I have the real true gift. and I can hear, I can see. She said, for instance, I was talking with someone the other day. He needed to make contact, I think it was with his father. And I heard his father say, I see boxes in your house. You're getting ready to move. And that let him know right away that I was really true and that I heard from his father, who's watching over to see that he's moving boxes. No, not right. Wrong. Necromancy. Necromancy is the contacting of the dead. What she really had contacted was an evil spirit. And so I want to read to you from what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 18, if you have your Bible there, or just write it down right now, and you can go back home to Deuteronomy 18, and we'll start with verse 9. When you are coming to the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. They were already doing this back in the day when Israel went into the land. Here's what they were doing. These demons are old. They've been around. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times. Do you have to consult your zodiac every single day? Throw that thing away and burn it. People who are sitting at the right hand of the Father don't need anybody but God guiding their lives. Now back to the Word of God. Verse 10 points out the error of using divination, being an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. I followed a car in Springfield the other day, which had a bumper sticker saying that I'm a witch, I have a coven, I'm in a coven, da-da-da-da, other little, it wasn't a very nice car. I guess it's not paying off witchery too much these days. But there might be some very rich witches for all I know. It's wrong to be one. It says so in the Word of God. Or, verse 11, a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Necromancer is one who contacts or believes, tries to contact the dead. Who do they really contact? The evil familiar spirits. Those same familiar spirits that were here in the days of Moses. It says concerning this in verse 12, all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God doth drive them out from before thee. These are abominations to God. God never changes, we are told. What was an abomination to him in the days of the Moses and the children of Israel is an abomination to him now. Consulting with evil spirits. That's what the woman has done who's written the book. She's consulting with familiar spirits. They've been around a long time. I can remember when I was a little girl, something swept over the United States of America, and it was, what was her name? Brody Murphy. And there was a woman, and I think she lived somewhere in the southwest of the United States, but when they would put her into an hypnotic state, she would claim to have been a little girl. She was one who had lived long ago, hundreds of years ago, in Ireland, and her name there had been named Bridie Murphy. She could tell them where streets were, where families lived. They could go back and check into the history and find out that what she told them was true. Yeah, that's true. These familiar spirits have been around, but you're not to be dealing with them. In fact, you are to be ruling and reigning over them. Wizardry. What's that book? What are those books about Harry Potter? They're about wizardry. Trying to bring our children into something that is an abomination to God. Even people in our land, high up in our land, are saying, oh, this is a good way to get children to read. Well, the enemy's out there, and he's after things. He's after our children. He's after the minds of our children. He's after the minds of our young people. You know, something's going on right now in schools. They're painting their fingernails black. They are wearing skulls. They are gothics. And they are piercing themselves, and they are writing upon themselves. We had a little Christian girl call up Shelley the other night, and she goes to school. And she said, you know, I needed some new friends. I needed friends. Nobody was friendly to me. And these Gothics, they came up and they wanted me to wear a necklace. And the necklace that they put around my neck had handcuffs. And she said, there was something that made me want to wear that necklace. And when I went home that night, my mother said, get that necklace off. She's a knowledgeable believer. And she said, I screamed at my mother. And she told Shelley, I don't like to scream at my mother, but something made me scream at her. I didn't want to take that necklace off. And she said, now, Shelley, they're trying to get me to wear skulls, signs of death. I'm going to take you now to Leviticus. And this is a very important scripture for you to know right now. In Leviticus, God says, verse 28 of chapter 19, Leviticus 19:28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Cuttings, piercings, that is. Nor print any marks on you. I am Jehovah. Skulls represent death. God said, I set before you death and life. You choose life. If you are a parent, and you're out there and your children are behaving in any of these ways, or it's going on in your school, you need to know how to sit with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenlies at his own right hand and take authority over these evil spirits. Not in my house, not over my children. No, you don't, Satan. Satan's behind it, and he has to obey you. And you need to do something more than just scream at your children. You need to sit up there in the heavenlies. I remember one time I walked in the back door of my in-law's house and one of my husband's cousins had come home from far. I think he'd been, I don't know where they'd lived off. And they came back home and the women and all the children went out. And we came back in and this cousin was over there at the breakfast bar doing spirit writing. And he had a spirit that guided him, he said, and he was giving answers to their questions. I walked in there and I saw that going on. I was furious. It was going on in front of my children. And under my breath, I said, oh, no, you don't, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Cease and desist. Suddenly, my husband's cousin only could make push-pulls. He couldn't write anymore. He could only make push-pulls. And he said, what is this? I don't know why I can't contact this spirit. And I said, under my breath, tell him why you can't. And that spirit, I thought he'd write the name of Jesus or something. He didn't. He wrote my name. That spirit wrote Billy, only he misspelled it. That spirit was dumb. He wrote B-I-L-L-I-E instead of B-I-L-L-Y-E. But I knew what to do. You need to know what to do. You need to know how to sit up there in the heavenlies. Order this book from us, The Authority of the Believer, $8 plus shipping. Just telephone us today or go online at billybrim.org. You can telephone us, however, at 1-800-972-3447. Go online, I wish you would, and find out about our prayer school, our youth rally, our eschatology that's coming up. I particularly want you to sign up to be in my eschatology class. That's where you'll get to be with me very close. You can ask me questions. We'll be together all day for 1 week. And we'll be going through the prophets and going through the prophecies of these last days that you need to know concerning the time in which you live here. Go online today and register or call us at 1-800-972-3447. Time is running out on the prayer conference. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.